Rising up from the cornfields of the Midwest, a new voice is being heard. We are taxed like no others. From a state synonymous with corruption, producing convicted felons from our governors at unprecedented rates.
As the former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich,
prison tonight. George Ryan begins a 6.5-year prison.
Coming to you from Peoria, Illinois, this is the Liberty Plays podcast. Hosted by everyone's favorite downstate Illinois Libertarian chapter, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. Featuring news, commentary, and interviews with local, state, and national libertarians working to make a difference for everyone. Welcome to the show.
The Liberty Place podcast contains opinions and commentary from the hosts and guests that may educate, illuminate, or offend. You may or may not like what they say. The editorial views of this podcast do not represent the official position of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and should not be quoted or rebroadcast as such.
Welcome to the Liberty Plays editorial podcast. My name is Eric Stahl, and I'll be your host tonight. I'm joined around the table by a couple libertarians from the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
I am Donnie Henry. I'm the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. I'm excited to be here. I've been in the Liberty Movement for quite a while now. I kind of, I got off of the active duty in the Air Force and came home. You know, I wanted to get involved in politics because I saw a lot of things going wrong. And so what I did was I joined the Republican Party because I thought that, you know, that was, you know, the best course of action. I didn't know anything about, you know, the Libertarian Party. You know, so I became a precinct committeeman. And I remember in 2008 when I got out, I remember laughing at Ron Paul, you know, for that first time. And so that was, you know, I look back on that and I laugh, but, you know, it really wasn't that funny. But you know, and then I moved to Peoria. And when I moved to Peoria, it was the 2012 Ron Paul campaign. And my lover Eve and I, we really got excited about Ron Paul. It really started to make sense. And that was really my beginning of my journey. And it's just gone from there. You know, we followed Gary Johnson after Rand Paul was knocked out of the election in 2016. And then we showed up to the meeting that, when Gary Johnson was running, it was, you know, that was, we've gone from there. And this chapter has started here in Peoria, and that's who I am, and I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Welcome, Donnie.
Yeah. Thank you.
My name is Jacob Irish. I'm the vice chair of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. I've been involved with the libertarian movement around, just like Donnie, with the Ron Paul movement. Really, of 2012 is when it started. Before that, I wasn't too much into politics, but I was always I always thought that I was a particular party. And I switched back and forth a couple times on different issues, and I realized, no, I'm a libertarian. And really, why I'm here is I'm here to help further the liberty movement, get liberty-minded individuals, get involved. While I am a libertarian, I am definitely one of those people who's more interested in moving liberty versus the party.
Awesome. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm Scott Johnson. I'm with the Tazewell chapter, but I hang around with these guys in the Peoria one. So. As far as how long I've been a libertarian, I like to say from birth. I just didn't know it, so I'm sticking with that one. No, I mean, I wasn't that involved in politics because neither party really seemed to fit me at all. I mean, I saw some good and a lot of bad out of either side, the typical Democrat, Republican. So I kind of came into Libertarian Party 2016 during the Gary Johnson campaign. And I just liked the message of personal freedom and lack of the government running or manipulating our lives. So as far as why I'm here, in general, I know it's a long road, but I just want my daughter to be able to have freedoms that I feel are being taken away from us on a daily basis. So.
I can agree. I can understand that completely.
Hi, I'm Teresa Miller, and I am a member at large at the Peoria chapter, the Greater Peoria chapter. I have been a libertarian for a year. Prior to that, I was a Democrat. I, too, remember Ron Paul in his election, and I too, laughed at that. I didn't feel like it was very realistic at the time. I was very steeped in my Democratic viewpoints, and at the time, I really felt like the Democratic Party was more for the working person. And probably around, 2016, that election, I really was disappointed in both candidates. To be honest, I did vote for Hillary Clinton only because she was a female. and I thought it was time for a woman to be a president. I didn't agree with a lot of their values, and then I saw the philosophy and the values of the Democratic Party not meshing. I felt like I had to compromise a lot of who I was as a person, and I didn't feel comfortable with that anymore. And a friend of mine was talking to me about libertarianism, and I had never really heard about it. I took the world's smallest quiz, and it showed that I was a libertarian. I told him it was a biased quiz because it was written by a libertarian, and asked him to go out and conduct the quiz with 10 random people and ask and then report back the results to me. And see how many of those 10 came back as libertarian. And if they all did, then that proved my point that the quiz was biased. That wasn't the case. And he challenged me to come to a meeting, and I came to my first meeting last November. And I really love the values. It speaks to everything that I had been searching for and believed the Democratic Party to be about, and they weren't. It was the same faces, just a different day. So why am I here today? I really believe in liberty and trying to get particularly young people to understand the importance of freedom and liberty and not to just blindly give all that up and follow and be a leader. And so that's why I'm here today.
Man, that's great. That's a great story. And the coming from the Democrat part is even stronger, because a lot of people would argue that our party is really filled with a bunch of Republican
totally false.
Abs, and it's great to see somebody from the other side. So I said my name is Eric Saul. I didn't really give you any synopsis on myself. So I'm probably, for a guy who's been with the party as long as like Jake and some others in our group, I'm probably the greenest as far as the libertarian movement goes. I love doing the shows. I like helping out the crew, and I believe in the message you're doing. I think Donnie and all the people in the group do a great job in Peoria spreading a message of personal freedoms, and that's really, I think, why I like the party so much. I was always an independent. I've never, ever in my life voted for a Republican or Democrat on the presidential ticket. Maybe in some other tickets I did. I think I voted for Obama one time because I was so nose-bent when Alan Keyes showed up on the ballot in Illinois years ago. So I voted for Obama for his 90-day term or whatever he spent, you know. but no, turning myself into a libertarian, putting that L behind my name, that's the first time I've ever been involved with a party in my entire life. So I've been growing. I've been learning a lot. And I enjoy my spot on these shows by sitting back and kind of sticking the fork and everything, getting everybody all fired up. Because sometimes I just want to see where it goes.
So that's why you're the host.
That's why I'm the host, exactly.
Well, so, what a diverse group.
Yeah, it is a diverse group.
It is.
So the reason we started the show, and I don't think I elaborated too much on this when we started up, the Liberty Place podcast has always been directly related to the meetings that are had every Thursday. What, the second Thursday of every month?
Second Thursday every month.
Yeah, and so what we do is we do a little synopsis, and inevitably we're going to have some conversations that have our opinions and how we feel about things. And what we want to do is, if we're going to have such strong opinions sometimes and maybe polarize people within the party, we didn't think it was fair to isolate the greater Peoria Libertarian Party against the whole state by maybe some commentary we make on our podcast, Liberty Plays. So so by breaking this away, you'll know that the opinions are actually those of us here at this table and how we feel. And everybody is welcome to this table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody wants to come do a podcast with us, certainly welcome.
As long as you can find the house.
Okay. Well, you know, I could have given you a little better directions. I didn't know who was coming. So, with that, you're probably going to hear some commentary that was on our last podcast, Liberty Plays number 11, because we're going to talk about a few things we didn't really want to dive in too hard. There actually was a focused conversation before we started that podcast to not dig too deep on some of the subjects we talked about tonight. It was a 38-minute podcast, but believe me, we were easy on you. We could have gotten a lot harder.
Yeah.
The big reason we're doing this show also is because of the election on November 6th. Anybody who follows Illinois state politics or national politics knows that was a pretty big election for Illinois, and the Democrats swept the state, and we had a candidate, Cash Jackson, that we thought would have a pretty good showing. That did not materialize, so we want to kind of talk about that And maybe that's where we start the show at.
Yeah, I mean, I think that overall across the country, I think most of us here are kind of insiders now in politics, whether we want to say it or not. You know, I think that, you know, we watch what happened throughout the country libertarian-wise. We had state reps, state senate. Laura Ebke was one of them. She actually had help from you know, outside organizations, and she lost. You know, everybody that ran as a libertarian pretty much lost, and it wasn't a good night for liberty, you know, including in Illinois.
Well, and you were there at an election party.
Yeah.
I mean, how did that feel?
I wanted to find a rope.
I mean, you know, none of us expected a miracle, but we did believe that it would be a little bit different than what happened.
Yeah.
Seeing the results as they're coming through and talking about them, it was just a kick in the gut.
It really was, and I don't think any of us, you know, our chapter and what kind of the reason we're doing this, you know, a lot of the individuals in our chapter had a lot of skepticism of what was going on, and we didn't think that we would do that well. But I don't think any of us thought on the down ticket
that
we had, like I talked about in the last podcast, 6.67% voted third party, mm-hmm. and I understand that that would be a problem in a 4-way race. But when we have a 3-way race in the down ticket, that didn't translate to our other candidates.
No.
Yeah.
And
that's really a hard pill to swallow because we had some good candidates on the down ticket.
I mean, I remember seeing the results for Secretary of State and looking at it and just thinking, my God, people must love going to the DMV.
They love it.
They love Jesse. Like,
love to stand in
are
line.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It was kick in the gut. I'll say it again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I guess I'll leave it to our amazing host, Eric, to see where we want to go with this because there's a lot to break down in that.
There is.
I know I myself was at that election party, and I was disappointed seeing some of the numbers. There were certain results that I wasn't really surprised at. I'm sure our illustrious host will get into that.
Yeah. God, I'm getting a lot of credit for nothing. But
there were some, like the Secretary of State, the Comptroller. There were a lot of elections that I thought we would really pull off that 5%, and it was really disheartening, especially kind of as a new member, to see that it really didn't play, and it was disheartening.
And all of our hard work just seemed like it vaporized, didn't
it? It did.
Let's play devil's advocate here, because if you're some other groups in the state of Illinois looking at the Greater Peoria chapter, they're saying, oh, this is probably what you wanted anyway, Donnie. You didn't like our candidate, you know.
I mean, and that is just
so bullshit. Much,
yeah, it's complete bullshit.
I got to say it because I think people are saying that.
Let's go down that road, though. Okay. I think that our chapter donated more than most chapters. We did volunteer. We got signatures. We had the infamous Jason Spires.
Infamous.
Yeah, I mean, we were bringing cash around to all sorts of media appearances. We were preparing him. We were the ones that prepared him for the debate that he did so well in.
I was going to say, he did well in the debate.
We did everything that we could, and just because we saw something that I guess other people didn't, if you want to put that on us, well, then you're just going to continue to lose because that's not on us. I think we need to just talk about what went wrong. And I think a lot of it has to do that our brand sucks. Mm-hmm. I mean, our brand is just destroyed. And I don't know what you do about that. Scott's looking at me like I'm crazy. Mm-hmm.
No. I agree with that. My problem is it seems like such an awesome message of freedom to do what you choose as long as you don't hurt anyone else. How does that not translate into a better brand?
Pot.
Yeah,
right. The pot party, and I don't even think it's the brand, but the public as much as the brand with the other parties of, haha, they still don't matter.
Yeah.
You know, that's just their feeling of, that's why we didn't care.
Yeah,
that's why we didn't do the ballot access crap. We just, it ain't going to matter. Mm-hmm. And that's just the reality of it.
When someone can come in that is completely just a defect Republican.
He's talking of Sam McCann, by the way. He brought in 4.2% of the state vote, I believe.
Yeah. Right. When someone can just come in and just say, I'll spend $3 million and I'll do better than you guys, and then he does, what do we even say to that? How do you even get someone to come and say, take our party seriously to run? So
I think that's called dollar signs for Sam McCann that we didn't have.
But money talks, right?
Money absolutely talks, and $25,000 doesn't talk very much.
We've talked about that in numerous podcasts. Money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
No, I was just saying, I said this at the last podcast too. You can't run an effective campaign on $56 a day.
And it was just the pride in it.
Exactly. That's and it was embarrassing.
It really was. And it really, our political system is embarrassing, right?
Yeah.
That
we can't be, you know, that doesn't allow you to have a voice. Mm. Yeah, that is depressing, but we have to live in reality. This is reality that we have to spend money to win.
Mm-hmm. Getting shunned for lack of volunteerism and lack of praise when you do donate is a major problem.
Yeah.
In this party.
And I think there was some leadership, you know, and people around the state that we, I call this the labor theory libertarian, right? Your value in the Libertarian Party is based on how much work you put in. Well, not all of us are activists. Not all of us have to put in necessarily like work, you know, labor. Why not ask for donations, for money? People can do other things other than just work. You know, and that's a trend in the state that's really, we've got to stop that.
Yeah, time or talents. I mean, that's what we say in Boy Scouts. That's what we say in church. You know, whatever it is, whatever you can contribute. You know, everybody's got different things they can do.
Right.
So Sam McCann, let's just kind of bounce back to that, because I said to you guys, how many of you guys have been downstate? You know, had seen the signs and stuff like that. And I don't think you guys had. I mean, I-55 was lined with giant Sam McCann signs. I mean, as big as that Cash Jackson sign we were carrying down the Morton Parade. It was a damn big sign.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the results of the election, I mean, there were some counties. He brought in 30 and 40%. Was it 40%?
I don't remember seeing any 40%, but I saw a lot, 10 to 20, all in between.
Well, I think they established the Conservative Party in like 80-something counties.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, he had a presence downstate. Now, If I'm a candidate in Illinois, do I spend all my time downstate, or if I'm a Libertarian candidate, do I just try and knock on little county doors and hope that, you know, the millions of voters there, do I accomplish something there? I mean, what do we do with this state from this point on? Are we constantly fighting Chicago? Are we the guys outside Chicago working against it, or do we try and work into that machine? What do you think?
Well, I contend that you don't try to run a statewide election. I mean, we can't compete statewide with the minimal resources that we have. If we have someone show up and they've got millions of dollars to spend, then maybe we talk about it. But we've got a Senate 2020, I know we're going to hit this in a little bit, we've got a couple of state, and we've got the presidential election. I don't know that we can elect someone statewide, and I'm not even sure that we can get 5%. So if we can't do either of those, then why don't we target places like Tazewell County, McLean County, you know, some of these counties that we did do really well in, and get someone elected and show that libertarian governing really works. You know, that's just my thought. But
actually, I'll further Donnie's thought. I was thinking about this the other day. Not to be a pessimist, but I'm going to go there a little bit with y'all.
Do it, Scott.
Look, I don't think we're anywhere close to a libertarian winning governorship in this state for some time. I'm not saying that as a defeatist. I think trying to get 5% is a very reasonable and attainable goal. With that in mind, back to what Donnie was saying, if we had a gubernatorial candidate come up with his own funds to be able to at least get some kind of mainstream media presence and name recognition with that, he doesn't have to be the pillar of libertarianism. He has to have libertarian values to a degree. I just think we need someone to bring people, get some interest into the party, and then focus on the down ticket, the winnable elections, the ones where you only have one candidate running, not three in this case for governor.
Would you sell your soul for a Donald Trump-type character?
No, I mean, he still has to have some.
We
seem like we have heroes in the Libertarian Party that this guy's great. He loves, he's this, he's this, he's true blue, or true blue, bad word, true gold, libertarian, you know, bleeding it.
Yeah.
But no one knows him besides the people sitting at this table.
Yeah.
Where does that get you?
But is it arguable, and I said this, and I don't know how many people heard this, Matt Scarrow could have been a paper candidate. And I don't know that he could have probably gotten a percent and a half or almost 2% just being a paper candidate, right?
No, you didn't.
I did say that.
I mean, it's true. You
I
did
think
say
you could sit on the couch and get 2%.
Yeah. That's what I think.
I mean, sorry.
It's very true, and it's unfortunate, but all of that work, and I think that's why people are so angry with us, right?
Yeah.
Because we say things like that are probably true, but they put their heart and soul into it.
Right.
We put our heart and soul into it.
Believe me, I revel nothing in our losses.
No.
I mean, I was looking forward to having ballot access for the whole state.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
what a dream.
I was hoping I was hoping to be proved wrong, honestly, with Cash. And and it didn't fall that way. Yeah. But he was a flawed candidate, and I think so many of the people that I heard that were rallying behind him were.
If I had to see one more comment that said, "If I could vote for you from Kansas, I would," I was gonna puke.
Yeah, I got very tired of those. Well, I'm in New England. I'm giving you support, Cash. Great. Send the dollars.
Send the money.
No, look at the top 25 donors to his campaign.
Yeah.
I'm in there. Jason Spires is in there.
Wait a minute.
On the list.
The Greater Peoria chapter that hated him were some of the biggest donors to his campaign.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, there were a lot of things that we did behind the scenes. You know, we got him down to New Orleans for the convention. That was another big thing.
And that was huge.
I mean, there were a lot of things that we did to support him, and people may not know it. But before you talk, make sure that you know about what we actually did, you know.
That's my thing. I think that, you know, so much crap is being slung about the Greater Peoria chapter, and you really don't know all the facts. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when we were talking about Sam McCann, He had commercials.
Yeah. I think I did see some commercials.
I saw at least once or twice a week a commercial on Peoria for Sam McCann.
Yeah, on the local stations.
On the local stations.
I wouldn't know because I don't have TV in my house. my wife's watching football right now, but I never watch football or TV with commercials. It
you know,
happen.
I just, going back to what Scott said, I 100% agree on bringing a candidate. You know, if they came in and had money and name recognition and all that. But I got to say, this being an editorial podcast, right, that I believe that the state party leadership would just fuck it all up.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, there goes our explicit tag.
Yeah.
This is not kid friendly.
There's the cuss jar and Jacob's filling it. Wait, Bobby's going to help.
There's 50 cents.
Yeah. I mean, does anyone disagree with that? I mean, literally, we saw what happens at the convention. It's a process that, you know, we all have hindsight with that convention. But I do think that going with what Scott said, somebody would come in and say they're not full gold. Screw it. And you can't do that.
No, you can't. And I will lean it back the other way. There are some really solid leaders in the state party. There's a guy, Ryan Mahoney, is the vice chair.
Oh, amazing.
Amazing guy. I mean, the guy is just pure leadership. When he takes on a task, he does it full force. You know, even Jenny Floyd, secretary, very organized, amazing woman. I mean, there are people that really could do some good things. My question is the people that are the voting members, if they, because you even see it now, a lot of them aren't willing to change this strategy. Hmm. And if the leadership doesn't vote to change the strategy in the direction of the party, we're not changing the direction of the party. And so where are we at then? You know, we're stuck with our local chapter. Not stuck. I mean, we got a great chapter, but some of those places out in the middle of nowhere that have five people, they need the state. We don't need the state. But they need them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, one thing I do want to backtrack just a little bit, because what we did want to get into in this podcast was sounding like this is like the negative Nancy meeting or we're just beating a dead horse meeting or something like that. I mean, we want to try and have productive ideas and stuff. So if it sounds like it's bash on this person or whoever, that's not it's just not we want to have an honest conversation.
Right.
This is a conversation we would have if we were sitting around a table right now at a bar.
Yeah.
It actually would probably be worse. We're probably
holding
back a little bit.
We're not there yet.
You guys
night.
Are just lucky to hear it now.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
But you know, other people are thinking the stuff. So, you know, why isn't anybody saying it? That's what it comes down to. Let's talk about 2020.
Okay.
I mean, I saw a commercial today on Facebook in the Lincoln Lobby or the Illinois Libertarians, and I think it's just a mock-up, but it's Cash 2020. What is that? What's going on there?
Let me say this, that if it's Cash 2020, it's going to be just like Cash 2018,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we're talking on a state level or a federal level.
Well, it's got to be a seat. It's got to be a Senate seat, right?
It's either Senate or it's going to be a local seat. And if it's a local seat, I'm more apt to get behind it because that actually supports my local candidate strategy. If we would have, I think we did Cash Jackson a disservice throwing him out in front of the state with all of the problems that he had. If he could have walked door to door to everybody in his state rep district or state senate district and met them, when you meet Cash, he's a good guy.
Yeah,
no, he is.
You
absolutely.
Know? And he's sensible. And he was, actually, towards the end of the campaign, when I would hear him talk, I would be like, holy crap, this
well,
guy's good.
Well, you and I were at 1470 and heard his last interview with Greg and Dan.
That was great.
Yeah. Oh, talk about polished.
Well, it was great.
And they weren't really, they didn't feed him any questions. No. I mean, they were asking questions about ballot access stuff, and he was dead on, man. Yep. And I felt like those opinions had all grown. He'd gotten to be a much better candidate in a short span of time. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Was that fair to make that guy the governor candidate? A guy who really, if you go back and watch stuff from a year ago when he was doing his live feeds and stuff, talk about a train wreck.
Oh,
you know, no, the guy had done a 180, but it's probably too little too late at that point, right?
Yeah. So if I asked those people out there, if you're talking about Cash 2020 for U.S. Senate, I got a problem with that.
Have they talked to Cash?
Yeah, well, that's another question.
That was my question.
A
lot of people are commenting, like, have you talked to him?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Is this something he wants to do?
I mean, he just went through hell.
Yeah, and from what I understand, he's not even in the state right now. I mean, I think he's in Arkansas based on the last live feed or something I saw of him. So,
with the moving truck, or is he just there vacation?
I don't know. I don't know, and I don't know what's going on. He seemed pretty distressed the last time I saw him. And I'm not going to go into that. I don't take any happiness in that. I like Cash.
Was he distressed?
I think he was pretty upset. Something going on with his family. Family court. So.
Okay.
He definitely put his heart
We'll leave that out
of it. I don't want to talk about that. But
Donnie's making a good point with that. He's not in the state. Like, has anyone talked to him about whatever is happening on these Facebook groups with the Cash 2020 videos and stuff? I'm very confused by it.
But can we address some of the discussion about how one of the things in his groups, they said, what else does Cash believe in? What else do the libertarians believe in that Cash believes in? Did you see that post?
I saw that, and it was kind of disturbing because I thought, well, what were you voting for?
Yeah. I mean, so if they don't even know what the libertarians, we failed completely.
Exactly.
If we brought all these new people to Cash Jackson, and they don't even know what a libertarian stands for.
They didn't hear the message.
Yeah, I mean, and so we've got a lot of work to do on that front. But more importantly, I'm scared that they join the party, they're going to show up to a convention, not know what the hell libertarianism is, and they're going to get the voice. Because it doesn't take a lot to flip the convention. We saw that with Cash.
Yeah. We learned that. It was a wild convention.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But I don't look forward to ever going through something like that again.
Me neither.
That was a nightmare.
I lost a couple hoping years of my life.
I'm hoping when I go this time, they all know how to come in and out of a room.
Well, that might have been our boy.
Because
screwed that up.
That was the most frustrating to me. No, it wasn't just one person.
Nature called.
Yeah, it did.
All right, for several of them.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, like that.
You could have peed in a cup and had less drama.
Smoke break, yeah.
I was watching the convention.
Vape break.
And I thought to myself, my God, how come nobody knows how? They had to repeat the rules to everybody in the room a number of times. And I thought, oh, my God, what have I?
Well, as professional as that convention was, that's the other things. We need to get that order, you know, in place. And I think people need to take their role as a delegate is very seriously, you know.
That was the impression that I was getting, was that it was like almost like not a joke, but it was just not being taken as seriously as it should have been.
I think that probably 75% of the people in the room took it very seriously.
Yeah.
The other 25, it's like it was just like a field trip or something. Just like, hey, let's go have fun
and party.
Exactly. Those are called the anarchists.
Yeah. Are they?
They don't follow rules.
Well, that could be. Yeah.
So another thing we didn't talk about on the Liberty Plays number 11 was, let me just say this, and I think Jake knows exactly where I'm coming from. I didn't have a Cash Jackson sign in front of my house. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about a house that was polarized. My wife had heard a couple news reports months before about Cash being a deadbeat dad, $10,000, hadn't paid his child support. And even when we talked about it, we literally had a conversation, which unfortunately my wife and I don't have enough conversations where there's no kids in the room or we're not doing something else. We sat down and we were talking about it. I said, well, no, this is what happened. He actually paid the money. You know, this was just kind of drummed up. And she still refused to let me put that Cash Jackson sign up front. So I had Claire Ball, Steve Duttner, Bubba Harsey, and my last one, I can't remember. Anyway, Mike Lahaney.
Okay.
Yeah, I had all my signs all lined up out there, but my Cash Jackson sign It was in my car.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that there. That
I put
was,
it out like a day before the election.
I think if you go around this table here, that's not an uncommon thing. Luckily, I live in a condo, so I don't have to.
There's five people at this table, and two of the five had significant others that said, "You're not putting that sign in my yard."
Yeah.
I don't have a significant other, but I wasn't putting one in my yard.
Yeah. There's three.
Didn't. No.
And what was the reason for that? Was it the child support issue, or why didn't you do that?
I felt like he was a flawed candidate from the start. One of the things that turned me off with Cash was in the beginning of his candidacy, he had made a mention on Facebook that he was in this for a two-year self-serving, and he used those words, mission. And it was to basically bring revenge on his family issues, because
judge, right?
Not just the judge,
but the whole system.
His exes too, because he said in that Facebook post, when I become governor, there are people in this state that are in elected positions and not who will pay for what they've done.
Yikes.
You don't say that.
No.
And then I found out with the whole deadbeat dad status, and I did a lot of research. I looked up with a good friend of mine on the court documents about his deadbeat dad status, his military status. It honestly turned me off. Then I saw Facebook posts of him without a shirt on.
Which one?
The one with the dog in the background.
You saw the dog?
No. Actually, yes, I did, because that's not presidential or governor material. As a governor candidate, that's not professional. That's not something you do.
No.
And so because of all of that, no, I did not want a sign in my yard with his name on it. I will say, because we said earlier, Eric, you alluded to, we want some positives.
Yeah.
I will say, as I listened to Cash in the campaign, towards the end, by the election, he was much more polished, much more professional.
Absolutely.
And I still couldn't talk to friends about him, but I felt better about him as a candidate.
Yeah, I was exactly right there with you. I was obviously not as bothered by it as my wife was, you know.
Yeah.
But
same.
He was my horse, you know. And I said this about the Gary Johnson thing during Aleppo, the Aleppo moment, that, you know, I'm not just jumping off there because he had a brain fart. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody gets a bad question, you know. But I think he was still a good candidate. He may have been flawed, and the same thing with Cash. He's a flawed candidate, but he's our horse.
Yeah,
I'm not jumping off this party,
right,
because maybe I don't agree with my candidate 100%. I mean, how often do you, no matter what party you're in, how often do you agree with your candidate 100%?
Why would anyone jump off the party when it was a tie?
Yeah.
At the convention, it was like literally one vote the other way.
It was a heated
one of them story. It was heated.
Well,
so why would you leave the party over something that close anyway? Yeah.
I don't know how down the rabbit hole we want to go with this, but I will say that I think that it might have hurt us having like the perfect candidate with Ron Paul. I mean, when we had Ron Paul's like kind of our, in our lifetime, we've seen that candidate that can be like that almost perfect candidate and run a professional campaign, millions and millions of dollars, then everything after that pales in comparison. And I think that that's something that we're going to have to realize, that we can't always have that perfect candidate, but we got to do a little better than this.
Well, okay, so Paul is also Republican.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean, so...
So, and this is a big thing that I say that the Libertarian Party does not have a monopoly on the Liberty movement. That is kind of my hashtag, you know. That's what I truly believe, and I will go, and this may villainize me, I will go wherever liberty goes, and that's never going to change. And if Ron Paul were to run again today, or a Ron Paul type guy were to run in the Republican Party, I would ask all of you to join me in supporting him.
Yeah, and that's just what I said in my intro. While I'm a libertarian, I am more interested and more
in favor of a liberty-minded individual versus the party.
Yeah, but let me be clear before everybody kills me. I believe that the Libertarian Party is the best vehicle for moving liberty forward as of
Absolutely.
Right now. If that ever changes, then trust me, I'm the first one to bail out of the vehicle. I'll go rolling down the road. You know,
because I think there's an important difference here between us and the Republican and definitely the Democratic Party. It's the principle of it. It's the signing of the NAP agreement, you know, where I don't see that in either of the parties.
No.
So when, you know, it seems like sometimes they change with the wind, depending what the political climate is. You know, I mean, Hillary Clinton, you can find tons of videos of her in there against gay marriage. Yep. Now, oh, it's all cool with her.
The hypocrisy is unbelievable.
That's my point. Yeah. So I like the Libertarian Party in the sense that they do have core values that they stick to.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree with that.
You know, you brought up a good point about both Eric and Donnie brought up, you know, Ron Paul and his message. Eric, you brought up Gary Johnson and the Aleppo deal. There was a – I was the victim of an experiment.
Uh-oh. Ooh. Were you sucked up into
the
sky?
I was sucked up in the sky, yeah. No.
Was it in Aleppo?
It was – you know, my – OP. my thing with Gary Johnson when he was running, I saw the Aleppo interview and I'm like, seriously, this is your candidate, seriously.
Yeah.
And I had a discussion with this with a good friend of mine at the gym and we went round and round about it.
She works out.
I do. I do. And so another good friend of mine secretly gave me Gary Johnson's platform, and I read it, and it was amazing. It was really good. And then when I found out whose platform it was, I'm like, why wasn't this communicated?
Yeah.
Honestly, the only thing that I remember about that candidate is Aleppo.
And you know what? Here's the bullshit part of it, is that he's the only one that was going to get us out of there and stop doing the bullshit that put us in that situation where Aleppo had the problems that it did.
Right.
You know, our picking winners and losers and funding rebel groups is the reason Aleppo happened, and that's what Gary Johnson wanted to stop, and both of the other candidates wanted to support that more. So, and it's so hard for me to say that, but then when we look stupid, you know, they stop hearing what our real message is and the facts, and it's very depressing.
And it's sad. There is no anti-war message anymore. The saddest part is because it's gone on so long.
Yeah. 17 years?
That is just how people think it is.
What's the norm?
That's scary as hell.
You guys know that I you know, as a veteran, this is really important to me, that we stop this insanity going on overseas. But I watched the Darren LaHood, our representative Darren LaHood, versus Junius Rodriguez, their debate. They didn't spend 1 minute in an hour and a half talking about any war. We are at war right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And nobody talks about it.
No.
It's disgusting.
It's just become part of
but
the
is
narrative.
It really
just,
a war?
Well, you can call
which
it whatever.
Is the problem.
Right, nobody
that's
ever declared
the problem.
It.
Yeah. Never get declared.
But we have people in harm's way. There are people being killed, innocent civilians, members of military are in danger, and we do nothing to talk about it. They're derelict of their duty. They should all be ashamed of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the fact that the media didn't even mention it, it's even worse. All right, I'm going to stop.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Whew.
Good discussion, Donnie.
Yes.
Good job.
You want to talk about the other candidates? Because we spent a lot of time talking about cash.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for us, Claire and Steve, we probably had the most time spent with them out in the field.
Yeah.
You were up in Chicago a few times and maybe met the other guys. But, no, Claire and Steve, they were downstate constantly. And I would have thought the amount of time they spent, all those county fairs, all the parades, all that would have translated more. And
the interviews, the, you know, newspapers, the letters to the editor –
It's hard because they all had the same campaign manager. So when you have one strategy and one campaign around, basically the whole state slate was one campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't get to test out any other strategies. They all did the same thing. They all went to the same places. They all did
and all got
interviews.
Similar results.
And they all got similar results.
Yeah, so we got Sam McCann and Cash bringing in about 6% of the third-party vote, basically, for the state. And then for some reason, well, now we're the only third party on all those other positions in the state. So you would have thought we would have saw those independent free thinker voters would have translated into 6% for Claire, for Steve, et cetera, et cetera. And it dropped exponentially. I mean, Cash was our lowest, yeah, I think, by percentage vote getter.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, because he was splitting it with Sam and the other guys. But Claire didn't do that much better than Cash. I mean, what'd you get, 3.7?
Yes, I think it was less than that, because I think Lahaney...
3.2.
Lahaney was the shocker.
Oh, yeah, he was the highest, yeah.
And he didn't... almost nothing.
Well, I think that towards the end he was going around. I think he did a lot in his local area. Okay. I don't want to get, you know, shit on him, but...
No, I'm not saying that.
We don't
I'm
have
just
the live
I
numbers
didn't...
in front of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that the treasurers followed as much.
Right.
However, if you look on a ballot and you see his name, it's different. It's not a Bubba Harstein. You know, we always laugh like, hey, you got to vote for a Bubba and Steve Duttner. But if you look at Michael Haney, it just looks like that political name. I don't know how else to describe it.
He really is a beautiful man, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. Shout out to Mike.
Shout out to Mike. He was really a good guy. So,
you were really all over him at that Morton parade. I really thought about you just now.
Come on, you know I have my lover Eve.
Yeah, yeah, but you've never fully committed in that situation.
You know, libertarian. You know, that's kind of as a libertarian, I think you'd understand.
He just spiked on his microphone for the first time tonight.
I think that libertarians should understand that the government doesn't need be involved in marriage.
All right, suckers.
Okay. Yeah. And you don't need to be married, actually. It's not all it's cracked up to be.
Dude, let's move away from this one.
Yeah.
I'll talk about anything else.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast.
Oh, shoot.
Do you think, though, because the down ticket was more disappointing. I knew the governor thing was kind of going that way. The down ticket really disappointed me. Do you think it had anything to do with a bunch of Democratic voters coming out to vote that didn't in 2016, saw what happened, and they go, D, yeah, I want that. Boom. I'm just wondering how much of a factor that was in the down ticket.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, didn't a Republican who was a known Nazi party get like 26%?
Mm-hmm.
Literally because of an R next to the name. Like Eric has nailed it before, some of this election, I would venture to say most of this election was screw Trump.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
And it had nothing to do with anything. I had people say, no, I'm just voting Democrat, and you ask them why, no answer.
Yeah.
Just because. And that's the state that we're in, guys.
Like, I mean, because right now we're dealing with Trump saying, you know, if California would rake more leaves, they wouldn't have wildfires. And this is, I mean, imagine if you were a Republican having to defend that.
Dude, am I wrong? He's just such an idiot.
He's an idiot.
I mean, it's like people defend him like he's the king.
He's the guy.
Oh, no,
he's
an intelligent businessman.
That's what scares me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And the fact that the Republicans don't see that there's a recession coming. We talked about that the other day. If you don't see a recession coming, maybe it's just because we're libertarian and we understand the business cycle, but it's coming and he's going to look really stupid, even stupider than he does now.
Yeah.
So,
well, he's going to be dead in a decade anyway. Yeah, so let's see. Sure. He's got all the money in the world.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he wanted that job. You look at him. You look at all the pictures of like Bush after 8 years, Obama after 8 years.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
I really do. I do not think that he took himself seriously.
Yeah.
And I think that he thought to the very end that Hillary was going to win.
Yeah.
And he just got a lot of free publicity. And I think when he won, I bet you he had a...
Oh shit!
I really do. He doesn't have a plan. If you listen to whoever's interviewing him, he does not answer anything about policy. He just says we're really looking into it. We're getting a lot of memos on that today. It's a really good plan. It's fantastic.
It's great.
But he never
huge
ever
it's
talks
huge.
About
it's
it.
It's gonna be huge.
And I do. I really feel that he went into it thinking there's no way for him to win. It's a big laugh. And when he won, I think he had no shit moment.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, I think he's also a gamer. I think, you know, once he saw he was competitive, I think then at that point he's all in.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's mentally like, oh, well, they're not going to beat me. Yeah. You know, had he been getting whipped by 100, you know, 100 points, he'd probably be like, whatever. It was just a game anyway.
Yeah.
But once he saw he had a chance, he rode that horse all the way as hard as he could.
I still think on election night he probably shit himself.
Yeah.
I will say, I think... You know, if we're going back to this election, you know, the Democrats came out in force. And I think a lot of it was the Trump effect. You know, they saw it. They thought that Hillary was in the bag. I had several family members who were Democratic, and they did not vote. And they did not vote, they said, because they knew she was already going to win.
But, but were they from Illinois?
Cause yeah.
It didn't matter here.
Illinois,
right.
The fix was it's a wasted vote, quote unquote. You know, anything but blue in Illinois. And that's... It's sad.
They shot themselves in the foot, though, because the Democrats taking the House is going to come back and bite them in the ass because Trump can hit them over the head over it. When stuff goes bad, now they can look at...
You say, everything was going great.
And Donnie, you mentioned that in the last podcast.
Right.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, most economists are saying that there's a recession coming and probably at the end of 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when that happens, that's going to seal the deal for Trump. You know?
It's frightening. Can we go back to the... topic of the candidates, the other candidates, Claire and Lahane.
We can't do that.
We can't. No. Never. Is it not allowed? Is it against podcast rules?
Should we have a vote?
This is not
respect Eric's authority.
This is suddenly not becoming very libertarian.
Since we're on more of a national platform, do we want to go into Larry Sharpe, the Liberty
Movement? We can, but Teresa has more to say about the... I would love to talk about... You know,
I want to
Claire
talk about that,
Stevenson.
Too, but I think, you know, one of the things that I saw, you know, with I love Claire. I saw her at the for the first time at the St. Patrick's Day parade, and I totally fangirled her.
Yeah.
And
I did, too. I got selfies. So I'm like,
I did, too. I did, too. The thing that I saw, though, was I watched the Chicago Tribune, and she looked like a secretary at a meeting. And she has so many good points, and she is so intelligent, and she is more than qualified for that position, but it didn't come across in that debate.
And I have a little bit of insider info on that. When we prepared her for that debate, you know, we talked about going out and attacking, you know, and for whatever reason that didn't happen. And maybe it's just that's just not who Claire is.
I don't think that's her nature.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate because I think in this day and age you have to have kind of an attack dog style. Mm-hmm. You have to be prepared to be an opportunist, to jump on your opposition, and you have to have some charisma and show that you have the balls to do the job. And I think fortunately for that state job that she's going for, there's not many opportunities for you to talk to people, you know, and have that opportunity for people to say, oh, yeah, she's a real go-getter or something like that. It just doesn't happen in that position. But that being said, when you do have those opportunities, you have got to strut. You've got to show off. You've got to do something to leave an impression.
Yeah.
I don't think she did that. Even in the parades, she was always sweet and nice.
Mm-hmm. Nobody really saw her.
Yeah.
And especially when Mendoza wasn't even going to – she didn't even want the job. She was going to run for mayor. I mean
– we all knew that.
Everyone knew.
She wanted to seal up for the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
It was so ridiculous. So you just vote for somebody knowing they're not even getting the job. You're voting for a letter knowing that they're just going to put somebody else in there by default.
Most people didn't vote knowing that. Yeah. Well, we know that. And a lot of other people did, you know, they knew that she was going to go for Chicago mayor. But, you know, when you're talking millions of votes.
I think the downstate electorate, I think, you know, I like to think they're a little smarter on some of that stuff. I think the Chicago blue, I think they just vote, you know, by the party line. But I'd like to think, maybe I'm wrong, because my wife's a state worker. So, you know, I think that they're all told to vote blue all the way down or whatever. So,
Think for yourself, man. You know, we got to start doing that.
Well, you know, we've got to get away from that Madigan machine. We've got to get away from that, and I don't see that ever happening in the state of Illinois. Yeah.
Well, not with what we just did. So, all right. So, where did you want to go?
The Liberty Movement in general. Talk about Larry Sharpe.
Well, so, you know, I woke up the next morning going, you know, if something's going on with the Republicans and it's more libertarian, maybe I should start looking that way because maybe we're on a sinking ship.
Blasphemy.
I'm just saying. And we had this conversation after the Gary Johnson, and this is why we're having this open and frank conversation. This is literally guys and gals sitting around the table just having a talk. But I remember after Gary lost, and we were talking about what if we infiltrated, it's a bad word, should we ever show up in a Republican
meeting?
But what if we showed up at a Republican meeting and all signed up to be Republican and just started working what we want, you know, over there? And I remember Joe, and I think David too, they were not pleased with that thought whatsoever.
No.
You know? So that was not the way it was going to go. But I'll be honest with you, there was a lot of doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was actually looking forward to last Thursday meeting to see, you know, where we went from here. So like Jake said, where is the movement in general? It didn't look good there either. So now I'm even unselling myself even more.
Eric, it's fair to talk about. I think people can have their opinions on it being okay to talk about. But I'll tell you, like, I have that feeling often.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of man, like,
this might be a coming out.
No.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
Let me be very clear. It's the thought of how do we get the message out more clear? And did the message come across from Cass Jackson about libertarians when now people are on Facebook who were part of his group are asking, well, what's a libertarian? Like, seriously, there's some big flaws with that. When someone can go up to a Republican, Donnie, you did this, and think that they are small government, you know, private enterprise. They're absolutely not. No. Not even close.
I mean, you know? I think the question I asked was, well, wait a minute, you're a Republican? You know?
That was so funny.
And what was this?
I'll give a quick synopsis. Basically, the city of Peoria has a privatized water company.
Yeah, yeah.
And the water company, every 5 years, we get to choose to buy it back. I thought that Republicans were small government privatization. And
I turned off.
And so I asked this guy about it. I was like, there's people even think that we should buy the water company. And the guy's like, well, we should. And I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm getting at is, you know, that thought has crossed my mind a lot of, man, is this a sinking ship? Do I spread the liberty, you know, from a Democratic point of view or Republican point of view? And I'm going to tell you that every party is not what you think it is, libertarians in general.
I agree completely on that.
And it's scary to think and to listen to somebody, and I've talked to people and they've looked at me and they'll say, "You guys will never win," and we get that a lot. But then I say, "What do you mean?" And they go, "Well, you make sense, so it's not possible." And they're not saying they're not going to win. You don't have a chance. They're literally telling me, "Well, yeah, what you're saying is making sense, so that's not going to work."
My mother-in-law, basically, when we were making cookies the other day, she goes, "So, have you conceded yet?" I'm like, "What do you mean conceded? You'll never win?" I'm like, "Oh God, not you too."
Well, and when you look across the country, I mentioned it earlier, we lost our ass in November 6th. We lost all across the country. I mean, Larry Sharp, you know, is just the tip of the spear. Laura Ebke, you know, Brandon Finney, Nick Sarwark, all of these really good campaigns, we got our asses
handed. How did Sarwark do, by the way? I forgot to look up the
numbers. Yeah, I don't know the numbers.
I wrote the number down, but he didn't, you know. So I guess that they eliminate so many people.
Okay.
And he didn't make the cut. So so he didn't get to that next round, I think is how that worked.
Okay. But,
and God, we all love Nick Sarwark.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Such a great guy.
I mean, I would go to the ends of the earth for that guy. That guy is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and Larry Sharp, arguably same thing. Just phenomenal speaker, has great ideas. He's a full package.
He really is. He ran a professional campaign.
And he had great publicity.
That's a very difficult state.
You know,
a lot of times I think it's akin to what we have going on in Illinois and Chicago.
It's possibly 10 years ahead of where we're at here.
It possibly is with the blue wave, you know, in New York. But, you know, people talk about Gary Johnson getting 15% in New Mexico like it's a good thing. And I'm like, guys,
it's sad.
It's sad. He literally won two terms as governor with an R by his name. And he couldn't get 50. Like, he just got 15%. Yeah. Like, these people have voted for him before as their governor.
And the logo, you know me, you know Gary Johnson, wasn't it that?
Could we also mention that he was endorsed by Rand Paul, a Republican, over the Republican in the race?
Yeah, yeah.
What more could we have done as a Libertarian to try and win that race?
The L look a lot like an R on the ballot.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Let's change the party to a P. Font. Let's change it to a P.
Yeah.
Porcupine party.
Porcupines.
You know, and it's hard for me because after the podcast, I got some messages from some of the people that were on the Larry Sharp campaign.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
And they weren't too happy with us because they say that it was a lot more successful than what we realized. And so, yeah, you do that. And I heard him out. You know, I heard out the person that was telling me this. I heard them out, and they said there was a lot of of shit going on in the state, right?
That doesn't matter.
But I do think that...
Welcome to Chicago.
Yeah.
There was some, exactly. I mean, and we know that. We know how that goes in Chicago politics. There was a lot of stuff. I think that the biggest point that he made was that, you know, more people will know they've heard libertarian now because of that campaign. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the election result is the election result. We can talk why, but that's just what it is.
Yeah, you know? Donnie, but did they listen to your message about how don't let them say we did nothing?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, let it not be said that we did nothing, but
yeah.
But at the end of the day.
Yeah, the results are the results.
Yeah.
They're bad.
But yeah. Somebody has to – liberty's worth fighting for.
Absolutely.
You know? So even if we never win, right? What do? Just let the government just go unchecked? Just let them take all of our liberties and not fight?
Okay, but
because it's messed up.
To that vein, though, then do we let our existing structure in this state or national continue to do what they're doing?
Oh, fuck no.
Okay, so that brings probably the final thought of the show. What about the restructuring of this state?
Yeah.
What Dana brought it to the meeting last time, and I'll give Dana 1,000,000% credit.
Yeah,
because that's an imaginary number. Anyway, she's trying to be civil on both sides.
Yeah,
she's like, guys, be careful. You know, on the other side, she's like, I understand it's your opinion, and I value that.
And she's part of the reason why we're doing this editorial. And she's right; we need to be careful. You know, that we support the party with our chapter, but we make our opinions known.
Yeah. So I don't understand it. I'm the noob. I get to say this. I'm the host. I don't quite understand. So can somebody illustrate maybe? What happened with the way the state functions now for our party?
Okay. Let me give the best synopsis that I can give, right? We used to be organized with chapters, right? Right now we're the Greater Peoria chapter, involves Tazewell, Peoria. There's some like McLean County that they were a chapter. They didn't have to do a lot to reorganize, right? They're McLean County. They were always McLean County. They don't have to encompass another chapter or another county. So what we did was we went to the way that the Republicans and Democrats are organized, but the way that it's said in the state law that they'll be organized. You know, everybody votes in a precinct, right? Wherever you go to vote, all of the people that vote there are in your precinct. So we should have precinct committeemen in each of those precincts. That's the idea. Republicans do, Democrats do. That's the idea. The precinct committeemen then are part of the county central committee. The county central committee has a chair, vice chair, treasurer, secretary. Those are all voted in by the precinct committeemen. And then what we do for the state party is the precinct committeemen elect the state central committee, and that's broken down by congressional district. So whoever your congressman is, that's who you'll have someone in that district, 17th and 18th, I think is what we have here. You might be
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Numbers don't matter. But you'll have one rep. Ours are Eric Epps and Henry Wissmiller are our reps, and they're the ones that will conduct the party's business. It used to be that the chapters had reps. I was a rep. Eve was a rep. And every chapter had a rep. But now that's been taken away. It was voted away overnight. And now the only representation we have is either members on the state party or those representatives. So those people are going to be the ones that decide the fate of our party. And unfortunately, I don't really know them very well. So we can talk all day about how we go, how we move forward. But it seems like our chairman wants to continue this 5% movement, which is fine. That's his right. And I know that there's a lot of shit that goes on between us and Bennett Morris. I'll just bring it up. Bennett is a really good guy. You know, I know Bennett. He's done a lot of things that I haven't agreed with, but that's fine. You know, I know that he wants to move liberty forward. Jake may have a couple of different opinions on that, but at the end of the day, I think we've discussed it, and he knows that Ben is just trying to do what he thinks is best, but ultimately he's gonna head the movement, and then the state party will vote on where we go.
I feel like I should.
You should
say something since Donnie.
It's my fault. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna be very.
Everything's
clear.
Your fault, like, Donnie. I've heard.
Like everyone's seen the little spats like on Facebook and comments and stuff. I'm very clear that it has nothing to do with Bennett as a person. I've met Bennett, talked to Bennett. He's been to our meetings and stuff. I just don't. I mean. I'm a leader where I work, and I manage, you know, people, and I'm really involved with that kind of stuff. And there's just some messaging that I wish could be done differently, and that's all it is. And you know, he's actually asked me, you know, hey, just go have a cup of coffee or something and talk about it. And I didn't reply to him because, you know, he was also right. We all had a bad day that day, but I just want to be very clear. That has nothing to do with Bennett as an individual or a person. My beef stems from, you know, his comments that he's made to me at our meetings before, and where the party's going, I don't agree. But I am a member of this party, and I intend to stay that way and be involved every way that I can.
Yeah, well, and that's what we've been trying to make clear. I said that the other day. I posted that picture comment of that we're going to be here, so you better get used to us, and we're not going to stop being outspoken. Disagree, vote the way that you will, but this is our party too, and we're going to have a voice in it. We may not win, but we're going to have a voice in what we do, you know. So bottom line is, where do I think we should go? I think we should focus on local elections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And can I go back on the organizational change? What inspired that, and when did that happen? Because I would think as a member of the party, I would have got an email. Did I miss an email on this?
No, you didn't. And that's part of the reason Bennett and I kind of had a little disagreement was that we had – it used to be called the SOC, right? And we had SOC reps from the chapter, and we voted on the business. And we had the SOC meeting. Nobody talked about that we were going to change to a board of directors is what they call the new model.
Shouldn't this be like a
that's the leadership
vote?
Stuff yeah. that is – That's I'm talking about. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, shouldn't that I saw have been that like a convention
Eric,
topic or something like that?
I can't pull it up. I don't have LTE here. But
yeah, you don't.
Let me clarify really quick because I want you to finish that thought.
Sorry.
But I want everyone to have out there to have the full info on it that we did pass in the bylaws at the convention, I believe 2 years ago, that once 78%, I think was the threshold, or don't quote me on the percent, but as soon as a certain percentage of the chapters move to the county central committee model, like I talked about, that we would enact this board of directors. I'm not sure we ever got there, but regardless, it wasn't discussed at the SOC meeting, and then the board of directors that we voted in, or the state central committee that we voted in, got to vote away the rights of people that didn't even get to hear about this. You know, we didn't really discuss it, you know, before they did this.
Yeah.
I mean, they had the right to do it because we voted in the bylaws, but it just seems that it was a lot of backdoor bullshit that went on, and it's like, this is what we want to do, so we're going to steamroll it through.
Can I just add, I, as a new person to the party, I felt like that was the way it was handled was not very libertarian at all. Yeah. It was more authoritarian.
But like
and,
the old parties.
And it felt very similar to the party that I left. Mm-hmm. And
get your phone away from me.
My understanding was that it was required because it's in the
state bylaws.
It has something to do with the election.
The state law. State election.
Yeah,
law.
The state election law.
If we
and
got
so
5%.
It was required if you got 5%.
Yeah, but nobody's ever really been able to explain that if we don't do that, what happens?
And that was my question. And
Dana seemed to know something about that because I think that contingency came up in the conversation. But she'd be better versed in that.
But why don't we all know that already?
Yeah,
there should be a discussion about that before.
Even an email with an FAQ that said, "Hey guys, here's what we're doing,
Again,
and here's why we're doing it."
As if you're a leader, I don't care if it's an organization, political company, scouts, Eric, you communication. And I can't pull it up, but you know Ryan Mahoney had a very nice post, I believe it was on Libertarians of Illinois, kind of giving some update. But I have heard nothing. There is no email. I've gone through. There's no message after election from any of the leadership besides that one post that was put on the page by Ryan. And that it's a problem, guys. We're all sitting here talking about it, but we got nothing to really.
It should go out to the entire membership.
It should.
Everyone that's a member of that entire email district
and
that we have.
And the way that, you know, the way you communicate on Facebook is different than the way you would communicate in
How many people aren't even on
forum,
Facebook?
But,
I mean, that's not a place to even put it.
The reality is that the communication is really poor from that side. And that's when I'm talking about things that frustrate me is that when there is communication, it's very poorly done.
Yeah.
But there's nothing else to say about it. It's really poor.
Go ahead, Scott.
No, I have a question on that. I mean, who does the state party answer to when something like this arises?
State party is an entity of its own, you know.
Okay. We're answers to its members.
Yeah. I didn't know if they answer to national, if there's any procedural things that should be done.
We're part of the national party. I mean, I'm not by any means an expert, but I probably know just the most of the table.
Yeah. Because if your state party leaders, if you will, decide to run roughshod, I'm not saying they necessarily did, but if that happened, what's the check on that?
So if you look at a state like Oregon, they had two state parties in the Libertarian Party for a while because of the bullshit and drama that was going on. And that obviously I would never advocate for that.
We can't end up like
we,
that.
We don't have enough people to do that. But but they just finally unified.
Wow.
And I don't know that we're headed to that, but I do think that if you continue down this road, you'll probably lose people.
Right.
You know, because or you have people like me that are just like, well, you're not doing shit for us anyways. So I don't need the state party. I like them. I like when they show up and help us out with our local things, but I'm not getting money from them. I'm not getting a lot of things from them. You know, maybe we get a couple of pamphlets and stuff that we can hand out, but that's it.
Did you see we got an email from some independent group today on our...
Yes.
Yeah, I can't look at it right now, but so I think there's already some people that are going to be maybe banding together, maybe, you know, join forces. Maybe there are people who voted for Sam McCann who said, yeah, that was stupid. Why'd I do that?
Yeah, right.
You know?
I hope so. So I know that we're running pretty long here, but I just want to say that, you know, my personal opinion is we work on local elections, and I would like to see us move to, like, my theory is that we move to a three-region area where we pick one race in each region. Mm-hmm. So if we did that and we had a northern, central, and southern, it would be up to those three regions to decide who they supported in that region, and we could put all of our resources into those three races, whether it be county board, state rep, state senate. You know, that to me, those are winnable races, and at the very least, even if we lose those races, those districts will never forget that there was a Libertarian running. We could pick the best people, because there's some people that shouldn't run for office. Mm-hmm. We have people that are running, and we say, run. Some of them are bad representations of what
I think we kind of stumbled through that here
last time. They're at it again, saying, let's just get someone on the ballot. And
Sometimes when you're desperate, you'll vet anybody very loosely.
Right.
I mean,
well,
and we're like that desperate girlfriend.
That.
Yeah.
So. Look at us. Yeah. We had someone come in. We thought, oh, well, let's just run them, and this will be great. And then we find out they want a $20 minimum wage, you know?
And free health care. Yeah. Found that out later.
And I hope that individual that still wants to learn more, and maybe that's our job, is to educate, you know, and to make them understand why that's not okay. But we can't have people like that running, representing our party.
No.
It's interesting.
Fair enough. Yeah. Now, that was about all I had on the docket. And anybody else have anything that we didn't touch on they want to talk about?
I don't really have anything.
I think
meetings.
Yeah, I think we're kind of. I think we've hit everything. I mean, we could really, really drill down and talk about some stuff about vetting candidates and you know, what was the mission of our candidates. I mean, a lot of that's just going to be rehashing, and I don't know that we need to beat a dead horse. But I think that this forum might be better in some ways, so that if we get in a situation where there's a candidate and we have some tough questions, maybe we can ask those here.
Yeah.
In the future, and really have no apologies about it. Yeah. I think that all of our concerns were, I think they were honest concerns, and I think in the end they did show up as issues, right?
Yeah, and I think that we maybe that was a lesson learned, that maybe this a separate entity of our chapter is the right forum to voice our opinions.
And the next one, we won't even talk about the chapter.
Yeah.
Right.
Something like that. Talk about whatever.
You're so optimistic, Jake. It's so unusual for you.
Aaron, do you want to give a shout out to Greg and Dan?
Oh, I don't know that they're going to listen to this whole thing. Maybe we could just cut this little segment into a little snippet and send it over. So Donnie and I went up and did that last interview with Cash Jackson up on the Greg and Dan show on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And great interview. Had a good time. Well, I propped up a camera, my cell phone, and I just took a video of Cash during the interview, and I posted it on my Facebook page, and I shared it on the group for the Peoria group and the Tazewell County group, and this was not unprecedented. We had done something like, you had done this.
I'd done it before,
with Matt Scarro, when Scarro was in there, and actually that was the day Scarro did a brilliant interview.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he was, unlike Cash, I mean, he was standing up, as I recall, and doing his thing, kind of like he did at our meetings.
Yeah.
It was great.
Left minus it, the gladiator.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And the F-bomb. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway.
Total turn
off. I didn't think I was doing anything that was out of line from what we'd done in the past. And there were no signs saying don't record or anything like that. Now, in hindsight, should I have asked? Yeah. Yes, I probably should have. But they were talking, and I didn't really want to get in the middle of all that. So yeah. About a week ago, a couple things happened.
Yeah.
One, I'm not going to make a big deal of this. Somebody had asked me, hey, would you be interested in maybe filling in every once in a while, 1470 in the mornings? And I said, yeah, I'd be interested in doing that. So I think that Greg was perusing my Facebook page where he yeah. stumbled across that video. And he texted you directly.
Yeah, he texted you. So tell me, who is Eric Stahl? And I was like, great guy, you know. I was pretty horrified. I mean, I think both of us looking back on it were pretty horrified.
Oh, yeah.
I think that we overlook that.
Yeah.
You know?
I was horrified because, and I told him this, I do idolize him in a lot of ways. And he's yeah. just a local radio guy. I'm an AM radio guy from the get-go. And that's, obviously you can tell that's why I do podcasts and stuff like that. But I do look up to him. He's a broadcast professional. He's definitely the voice of Peoria. And to have a little bit of hate raining down on my Facebook Messenger from him saying, hey, why do you have that video up and blah, blah, and you take that down, blah, blah. I'm like, well. And I'm literally getting ready to go see Bohemian Rhapsody with my family. I'm like yeah. standing in my car, getting out, walking into the theater. I'm like, my wife's like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm getting yelled at by Greg Batten. she goes, why? And I'm like, I'll explain later. I'm literally getting popcorn, still trying to delete videos. And the app is not nearly functional enough when you're trying to delete videos. I couldn't do it. So I'm texting Donnie at the same time while responding to Greg, apologizing and saying, Donnie, delete that video as fast as you can. And by the way, delete the Scarro video too. It's, you know, it's a good measure.
And I you know what, it was one of those things where we got it done, we got it deleted, and I just, they have been so good to us.
Yes.
And big thing, Greg has been so supportive of almost everything I've ever done. Bill Peoria was one of the things he was really supportive of. He still is. Just in the local community, he's just a bedrock, you know. He's just unbelievable. And so I felt really bad, and I think the next day, you know, I talked to him, and you know, I think, you know, it's all.
Did you actually talk to him or you just text him?
Through text.
Okay, and that's how I'd been communicating too. And he said that too. It's all good. And he actually said, it's a silver lining thing. He said, by having this problem, it actually made me realize that, hey, we've never told people not to record. And the, you know, and I'm like, really? That's a, you know, this has never come before. I mean,
we're libertarians.
I said to one of my friends, I said, well, am I that progressive that, you know? They said, well, yeah, you might be more progressive than people that usually show up there in that studio. I don't know. So I think we're good there.
Yeah, but bottom line, I haven't been able to vocalize it, I definitely want to throw my apologies out to them, and because ultimately you and I are united front on that.
So. And we'd love the support they get the party, because those guys would tell you, I think, that they both voted for Gary Johnson. I don't know if they voted for Cash, but they probably did. And for a major station in this metro market, for them to say that they're libertarian or they're like the libertarian candidates, that – is high praise, and we definitely don't want to rock that boat.
We need more of it.
We need more of it, and I don't see any avenue for us to be successful locally without the support of good people and good media outlets like that. So, so man, that was just an eye-opening, and we love you guys out there, and Greg and Dan.
Adventures in Media, yeah, it was fun. Yeah. All right, so I think with that, we're killing this thing.
I got nothing else to say. I feel good.
This was awesome.
It was theraperic.
Yeah, we might hear some shit later.
Yeah, hopefully it was therapeutic for years. And I also apologize if the microphone sounded a little jinky every once in a while. I was prepared for three easily, and then the fourth, the microphone didn't really work out. So I think we got it worked out. I may have to do some adjusting on the post, but it should sound okay. Next time we get together, maybe I can get another one or two of these things going on.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to, you know, anybody out there that thinks that they have something to say or has an axe to grind with us, we're more than welcome to talk.
Yeah.
You know, you may have to make it all the way out here to
Lafinka de Merida. Don't bring the axe with you.
they will have to make it all the way out here.
But you guys are welcome, and I think that that's what needs to happen more often, is more in-person conversations.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we need to remember, too, that part of being a libertarian is having your own voice, your own ideas, and not conforming to what other people think and tell you to think.
Yeah.
So
unfortunately, we're becoming a bigger party, so now we're even chafing at that in our small party.
Right. It's brutal, isn't it? I think we need to keep that in mind, though. That's
Liberty plays here. We're not changing here.
Liberty does play.
I'd like to thank Donnie also.
Yes.
For bringing out this
crony capitalism.
This,
tastes good.
This, these really these cold fries from Portillo's. They do taste like crony capitalism, but they're still delicious.
They really are.
And Jake is loving it.
Asshole.
Thank you for bringing up some Portillo's. If it hadn't been for Zach Euler, I probably wouldn't even eat these, but Zach made me feel a little more comfortable with my decision to eat this fry. So.
Yeah. Thanks, Zach Euler.
Thank you.
You made this made possible by City Council at large, Zach Euler.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Again, my name's Eric Stahl.
Teresa Miller.
Scott Johnson.
Jacob Irish.
Donnie Henry.
Look forward to talking to you again. See ya.
That's it for this month's episode. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast catcher. For more information on this show or any other subjects we talked about, check out our Facebook page or libertyplays.com. We'll be back next month with more Liberty in podcast form. Remember, kids, taxation is theft.